Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast, the podcast that's dedicated to providing valuable insights, practical tips, and proven strategies to equip new teachers for success. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, educator, published author, and instructional coach. Join me in each episode as we offer a supportive platform for navigating the challenges of the teaching profession. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing out-of-control student behavior with our guest, Alyssa Crabtree. But before we get into today's topic, I'd like to take a moment to share a little bit about today's special guest. Alyssa Crabtree is an advocate for educators everywhere. As a 16-plus year veteran, she has been exposed to numerous instructional strategies, district and campus initiatives, and professional learning opportunities. Through her experiences, she has recognized what has a lasting impact and who truly benefits. She believes in the power of growing teacher and student efficacy. She's spent the last 8 years of her career coaching teachers, administrators, and district leaders so that both teachers and students harness their power and abilities. And today, we're going to be talking about strategies for managing out-of-control student behavior with our guest, Alyssa Crabtree, who currently serves as an education leadership coach. Welcome to the show, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's going to be great. I look forward to all the golden nuggets that's going to be shared here today. Alyssa, would you like to take a moment to share your journey in the field of education? You know, what got you here?
I'm finishing my 17th year in education, and I started out as an English teacher at the junior high level, and I taught junior high, taught eighth grade forever and ever and ever and ever. And about my fifth year as a classroom teacher, I became part-time teacher, part-time instructional coach. And so I had the opportunity to be an instructional coach for sixth through eighth grade, and then also taught half the day. And then my husband and I ended up moving to Houston, Texas, where I became a full-time district coach, and then went into, and then I've been in my own consulting business now for 2.5 years.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. So I've loved every minute of it. I get to work. I've worked with K through 12. I've worked with all contents. And honestly, you know, my favorite part is really working with instructional coaches and instructional leadership teams, because there we get to see the teachers flourish and be super excited and fall back in love with teaching.
Oh, that is fantastic. You know, Alyssa, before we actually get into the, I've got so many questions to ask you, you know, let me just say, I know that, you know, strategies for managing student behavior is really a major pain point for new teachers. I mean, not just for new teachers, but, you know, teachers in general. And I want the audience here today to know that by the end of this episode, they're going to have a good understanding of what it takes in terms of strategies to manage student behavior. So my friends out there, make sure you have that pen and paper ready to take some notes down now. Okay, so we're going to be going full steam ahead here. So at any rate, these strategies would be just excellent, valuable info for your teacher's toolkit. Okay, so, all right, having said that, Alyssa, I have to ask you, what are some common factors or triggers, you know, that can contribute to students exhibiting disruptive behavior in the classroom?
There are two that automatically come to mind. And the first one is a lack of consistent structures and routines. That is the biggest one from K through 12. And I'm going to tell you, our elementary friends have it going on. They know how to put those structures into place. But I think there is this unspoken agreement once students get into secondary that they should automatically know. They should automatically know those routines and procedures. We shouldn't have to teach them, but I'm here to say you do. And I even see it with adults. Sometimes they need to be taught those routines and procedures. Yeah. But routine structures and procedures, and I'm not talking about just in the classroom. I'm also talking about on the campus. It starts with leadership. There have to be aligned routines and structures and that consistency. And then the second thing, I'm going to say it, is instruction. If students are not engaged in the learning, they're not feeling the right amount of challenge, they're going to get bored. They're going to become disruptions. And if they don't feel successful, what do? When we are doing hard things and we feel like failures, we kind of like retreat. We get in that fight or flight mode. So the students are either going to fight or flight. And we see that happen quite a bit. And so maximizing instructional strategies in the classroom is paramount. How are we engaging our learners?
Okay. Excellent. Excellent points there. You know, the consistent routines have got to be in place, you know, and if you keep, it makes sense. I mean, if you keep kids engaged, they're less likely to act out. I mean, you would think that would be common horse sense, wouldn't you?
You would think. And here's the deal. When it comes to routines and procedures, I know that sometimes there's a mentality of, well, that's boring, that, you know, we shouldn't have to do the same thing every day. I shouldn't have to do this as a high school teacher. But especially when we're looking at the science behind trauma and traumatic experiences, structures and routine provide safety for our students. And a lot of our students are coming to us with trauma. And so when they know every day, I'm going to have this, this, and this in Ms. Crabtree's classroom, there is a level of safety.
Absolutely. Well, I have to ask you now, in your opinion, how does the prevalence of out-of-control student behavior impact the learning environment for other kids in the class?
Oh my gosh. It
probably, you know, a long list here, huh?
It is. And, you know, one, it disrupts learning in general. And so learning is lost. This is where we're seeing a lot of gaps in learning. And I know that oftentimes the narrative is, oh, it's the instruction or it's the curriculum or it's this. But I'm also here to tell you that not having consequences and not having the support at home and not having the support of structures and routines within the classroom create those disruptions for other learners. And one thing, I mean, gosh, we just watched, I don't know if you've seen it all over TikTok and Instagram, the student who slapped the teacher not too long ago. High school student slapped her twice. And the biggest frustration for me in watching that was the students just sat there and did nothing. So I want to talk about not just the learning loss, but the apathy muscle that's being instilled in our students, where that wasn't a shock. I'm sure when you and I were both in school, if someone slapped our teacher,
oh my gosh,
and we would have tried to grab that student. I even had a student one year. I mean, it wasn't in my classroom, but in the hallway, they were having a fight. I get in the middle of it. I break it up, or I'm trying to break it up. And one of the students comes to punch me, trying to punch the other kid. But one of my students stepped in the middle, pulled that kid away. And she was like, don't touch my teacher.
You know,
she was defending me. And we don't see that anymore. And I think it's because they're so used to extreme behaviors in the classroom. They're so used to seeing traumatic and horrifying experiences on the campus that the initial reaction is just, let me bust out my phone and record it. And so our students are becoming numb to a lot of things that should shock them. And that's one of the biggest consequences. And then, of course, learning loss is huge.
Absolutely. Okay. That's a good point there. I mean, kind of piggybacking off that, would you think effective character education programs in schools would I look at it, I think it'd be a good thing. It wouldn't hurt.
It's a really good thing. And a lot of our schools go ahead and they have adopted different curriculums out there. Here's the deal though. If a school does not have a relationship with their community members, it's for naught. We have to have a relationship with our community. And I'm not talking about parents coming in and telling us what we need to do. I'm talking about parent support.
Yeah.
Like, we need parent and guardian support. We need to provide maybe some of those character ed classes for our families. And that way, we are involving them in the decisions we're making for structures and routines on our campus. So character ed courses are amazing. I love them. They're beautiful. But unless we include the community with it, it's going to be a struggle.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. Now, can you address some of the long-term effects of out-of-control students? I mean, I know you mentioned, obviously, the loss of learning time. But I guess what I'm trying to say is how it could have an effect on individual students and the overall classroom environment, you know?
Well, the teachers are going to leave. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm. They're fed up. And, you know, you can't blame them. Who wants to go to work every day and be belittled and cussed at and treated horribly?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that creates a lot of toxicity, both mentally and physically. And when we see that, it's unfortunate. And also, if our community is not supporting public education, we are going to see a stronger criminal rate, a larger, because we know an educated community is a prosperous community. And if our students are not receiving the education that will help them succeed, there will be some detrimental consequences to our society.
Okay. You know, I wanted you to, if you could speak to, what do you think the role of the teacher, or I should say, how do you think the role of the teacher evolves when faced with persistent challenges of student behavior management over and over and over again? You know?
Yeah. It makes for a very long day. And even if they're not extreme, I'm going to tell you that kid slapping that teacher is not something that I see every single day. You know, that's not, that's a rare occurrence. But even just the little disruptions that occur and occur and occur, we're seeing a lot of our educators experiencing health problems. They're experiencing mental wellness concerns. And then also those of the students. When a student is continually hearing negative comments or watching inappropriate behaviors or being exposed to things that they probably shouldn't be at that time in their life from their peers, it really creates a trauma for the kids in the classroom, unfortunately. And that is something that we need to create. I'm going to say it again, create those structures and systems that support learning. And, you know, it starts with leadership, 100%. I look at my own daughter and my husband and I, if we were not on the same page, she's going to know how to play us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We do the same thing. Your administration, those are your guardians. Those are your parents. And then if I know I can get away with one thing with the teacher or in the hallway or with this admin, I'm going to know how to play the system. And so the administration needs to be aligned because more than ever, teachers need support with this.
Absolutely. And, you know, that kind of ties in with my next question I wanted to ask you. What support systems or resources do you believe that are essential for teachers to have, okay, to address this behavior, you know?
Yeah.
I hear from teachers, Alyssa, and they say, well, you know, I send my kid down to the admin, the principal, they get a lollipop and 10 minutes later, they're back in my room again. And I don't think that's admin support of teachers.
Not,
you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been teaching for, you know, 20 years and, you know, I could probably count the times on maybe four fingers. Me personally had to send somebody there, and it was for a zero tolerance offense, you know, like a weapon, whatever the case may be. But and of course that's different. You know, they were out. But you know, I hear people, I don't know. What is your take on that?
It's infuriating. I'm gonna talk about two sides of this because I will say I've been that teacher where there were very few times that I sent a kid out. I have a high tolerance level.
Yes.
And I did have great management in the classroom. But there was an instance where I sent a kid out for, like you said, zero tolerance incident. And he came back with a bag of Cheetos. And I remember when he came back with it, oh my gosh, I'm sure you could just
see my blood boil.
Oh, I was so angry. And you know, on the other side, though, I will say this, administrators are overwhelmed with discipline. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our school systems are separating the responsibilities of behavior and instruction. So they have administrators that strictly focus on behavior, and then they have administrators that strictly focus on instruction. But here's the deal. They go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
They are hand in hand. And so the first thing that I would say is principals, you need to create a leadership coalition and develop a clear vision with certain success criteria for students. And here's the deal. When you create your action plan, it is everyone is on this plan. So if we're saying no cell phones in the classroom, that means no cell phones in the classroom.
That's right. Across the board. Yeah.
It cannot be one teacher does it and one doesn't. And then there needs to be a system for, you know, hey, I can't just send. There are some teachers who send kids out for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you chewing gum, I'm sending you out. Yeah. Well, we don't need to be sending kids out just for chewing gum, you know, because that disrupts learning as well. But there needs to be, hey, if it's this offense, this is the immediate consequence. Then there's two, and then there's three. And once you get here, that's when you send them out. You know, there needs to be very clear, aligned expectations, but then the teachers need to be trained on them,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be held accountable for them. And I was talking to someone not too long ago. They have a zero cell phone policy on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave students about 3 weeks to get used to it. Like, I'm not going to send you to the office straight off the bat. But one teacher had a real internal struggle because she had a student who never gets in trouble, was sweet as pie, all this, pull out their cell phone.
Yeah.
And she was like, what?
Well,
can I just give them?
You gotta stick with that plan.
And she did. And she was like, kid, I'm going to tell you, you got to go to the office. And the kid, being a mature teenager, was like, oh my gosh, miss, I didn't even realize I took it out, because she was addicted to her phone.
Yeah.
So she didn't even realize. So she goes, oh, I understand, but I didn't even realize I took it out. I was just addicted to it. So it goes with all means all. Every kid's held to the same expectation. Every teacher's held to the same expectation. If not, the kids are going to play you.
Absolutely. Well, then this kind of leads me to the next thing that I need to talk to you about here, or ask you. Can you discuss any specific policies, okay, or interventions that schools, you know, or educational institutions maybe have implemented to address this problem?
You know, I've seen a lot of things, and, you know, here is, some have worked and some have not worked, but what I have noticed is people quit when it gets hard. And if it doesn't improve automatically, then they quit and they go to the next fancy thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, whatever anyone implements, my suggestion is just be consistent with it.
Yes.
Be consistent. You can do restorative circles. You can do, now I'm not going to lie, I do like restorative circles in a sense, sometimes, not all the time. I have seen it where it created a very unsafe place for the victim of bullying, you know, so there are some different practices like that. Character Ed has also been a help. PBIS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, there are times, though, when PBIS doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because, like, even my daughter, she's in second grade. They have PBIS on their campus, and they receive Dillo dollars. Their mascot is an armadillo, so they receive Dillo dollars. My daughter no longer cares about Dillo dollars. She's had it from kindergarten. She loved them, thought they were awesome. Now she doesn't care. She's got them all strewn everywhere. She goes, I don't care. I'm going to get another one, whatever. And so it really, there needs to be a balance of, yes, we need to acknowledge the awesome behaviors that are occurring. However, we also need to find what motivates those students who are not motivated and hold them to a high expectation. And I think we have lowered the expectation for a lot of students.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it sounds harsh, the students who are problematic, I mean, we need to bring that expectation up so that they can be successful and meet it. And there just needs to be consistency, whatever a campus decides to choose.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned restorative circles. I was going to ask you, what do you think about restorative practices in a school?
there's a time and a place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not meant for every time. And even the founders, like the even the gurus of restorative practices, I was watching, reading an article not too long ago, and they were even saying some things were problematic in it. And that doesn't mean we get rid of it completely. It just
That's right. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know?
Yeah.
Just
see what works and you revamp it.
Right.
And I think too often people just give up when it gets hard. Their consequences need to occur. And you know what? I know I'm going to sound like an old woman right now, but one of my, I always say, you know, the students that are vandalizing the schools, the students, you know, for the longest time, there was that TikTok trend where you go and take the stall doors off and all that good stuff. I just want to make them clean toilets.
Yeah.
You're going to do that. I want you to have to pick up trash outside, do the flower beds. I want you
Absolutely.
To know maybe some labor. I know that sounds bad, but there just needs to be consequences that don't belittle the kid. We don't want to belittle, but it holds them to an expectation and possibly provides them with a strategy that will strengthen their abilities and their problem-solving capabilities.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, I know Japanese children, they clean their own classrooms.
Yeah.
They're their own custodial staff. I think it's a great idea. I wish we'd have it here. Now, and you know, I'll tell you what, to circle back to that, you know, kids love to volunteer. They love to help out in the classroom.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, yeah, you know, so that shouldn't really be a big issue. But anyway.
Well, and that's something I do want to bring up as well. You know, and even in the secondary classroom, please, secondary teachers, I want you to hear this as well. Just like you brought up, students love to help. Even your most problem children will help. Like I've had that kid that came back with the Cheetos.
Yeah.
He's helped me in my classroom before. So we have to give them roles and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is essential. Give your students roles in the classroom.
All right. Well, well said. Are you a teacher who finds yourself drowning in the challenges of classroom management? Do student behaviors leave you feeling overwhelmed and drained at the end of each day? Picture this, a classroom where your students are not just present, but fully engaged, focused, and eager to learn. Say goodbye to classroom management stress and hello to success. The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program. Let me ask you, from your experience, Alyssa, how do new teachers, react or adapt when confronted with instances of out-of-control student behavior? You know, and
I think we have to plan purposefully, and so we need to be proactive and rehearse the situation with teachers before it ever occurs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even when we lesson plan, we talk with our teams about misconceptions that students might have. We need to do the same thing in role play with our new teachers so that they are not blindsided in the moment. Because if they can have the tools beforehand, they will be more successful. So whatever your school's policy is, if your team has come together and created a clear vision and a system in place, the instructional coach or an assistant principal or a teacher mentor needs to work alongside that brand new teacher to rehearse. What happens when a student stands up and cusses you out? What happens when a student and another student start fist fighting in your classroom?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or what happens when a student has an inappropriate screen up on their Chromebook because they can bypass every single
thing? Yeah. Unfortunately.
Exactly. And so have those rehearsals with the teacher so they are not blindsided and then in a moment of chaos. So if I've rehearsed it enough, I've worked it through with my coach enough, when it does happen, because it's going to happen at some time, we're in education, people are human, they have the tools to handle it. And then, of course, Consistency, consistency, consistency. Just whatever your system is for consequences or rewards, stay consistent and build relationships with students. I know that teachers sometimes are tired of hearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
You
but
can't.
It's true.
Yeah, it is so true. And it doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but a student knows when you don't like them. And they're going to dig their heels in. So it's, you need to build those relationships.
Absolutely. And I think it starts right at the classroom door, giving those positive affirmations and all this when they come in and just kind of doing a check-in with them, you know?
Yeah.
So you can kind of tell, right, how what kind of an evening a student had.
I was working with an instructional coach not too long ago, and she also is a half teacher, half coach.
Uh-huh.
She stands at her door with a badge that has six different faces on it, six different emojis. She
uh-huh.
stands at the door every single day, and the kid points at the emoji that they most resonate with. And so in that moment, if a kid points to the anger emoji, she has an immediate conversation with them right there. Like,
that is awesome.
Going on? Or she says, just stand to the side. We're going to talk about this before we go in. That right there.
Yeah.
Is powerful. And it works at any age.
That is so, so cool. So audience, I hope you're getting this. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about now, and in what ways can experiences with out of control student behavior shape the professional development and growth of teachers? And I know you alluded to that, but I mean, what could admin do? I mean, like, you know, have professional development on student anger? You know, I like what you were saying, you know, if somebody starts a fight in your room, what are you going to do? You know, I think it's very powerful to rehearse and know this stuff beforehand. I mean, obviously, you can't entertain every conceivable thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you can get pretty close. I mean, you can get a lot of it.
Yes.
You know, so what's your sense of that?
You know, there's a couple of things that come to mind. And the first one is we have to get to the root cause. So we can no longer just slap Band-Aids and hope that they work. And so a couple of things that we are noticing is an overexposure to screens is reducing the amount of gray matter in our brains. So
yeah.
With the reduction of gray matter, we're losing those problem-solving skills and we're losing the ability to think rationally. So we automatically go into fight mode or panic mode. And so we see that as an adult, you can regulate that a little more because you have the maturity to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But a child doesn't. They don't know why one thing sets them off, and it really goes into discovering as a campus, what is the root cause? What's the most prevalent themes? What are the most prevalent themes that we are noticing? And what is the root cause of that theme? That's the PD we need to have and how to solve that. And then, of course, rehearse with your teachers and give them the tools that they need to overcome it.
Okay, to kind of piggyback off, I need to ask you this. What advice would you give for administrators?
You have to be aligned. And that means your APs need to have the same expectation that the campus has, that the academic dean has, that the teachers have. And you have to have a system where you hold everyone accountable. I think too often administrators are afraid to hold teachers accountable because they don't want to create a toxic work environment. But teachers, your great teachers, are leaving because their colleagues are not being held accountable. And they are frustrated with having to take on the extra work because their colleagues aren't pulling the weight or the AP isn't holding students responsible. And so principals, you have to be aligned. And I'm not talking about just throwing a goal out there and saying, okay, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is a whole system. And I would say spend a couple of weeks, full days with your leadership team, aligning the vision, aligning the success criteria, and aligning the expectations.
Okay, very good. Well, let me ask you this. What is your biggest takeaway? You know, probably have many, but if you could just name one big thing that you would love to share with our audience that they would take away with them.
You know, we didn't talk about this, but the big thing would be teachers, administrators, don't take anything personal. These are kids. And we see kids, we were kids at once as well, where we get angry and the next day we're fine. So one, don't take anything personal because that has a mental and physical effect on you. And if we don't take care of ourselves first, we can't take care of others. And the second thing is, whatever it is you implement, just be consistent and explain to the kids why. You need a model for the kids. Tell them why. Why is it important for them to come in class in an orderly manner?
Mm-hmm.
Rehearse it with them. Be consistent and give feedback.
Okay. Very, very good point here. Alyssa, how can folks connect with you?
I am everywhere. I am. I have a YouTube channel, and it's called Crabtree Coaching Collaborative. I'd love for y'all to go subscribe to it. I interview instructional leaders, teachers, educators, even health professionals everywhere to kind of to talk about how we can bring the joy back into education. And I'm on all social media platforms. So just look up Crabtree Coaching Collaborative or Alyssa Crabtree, and I am there.
Okay, great. And of course, I'll go ahead and make sure that your links are on our YouTube and our social media as well.
Thanks.
I just have to say, I want to thank you, Alyssa, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and talk with us today. I know teachers out there have gotten a ton of gold nuggets and to add to their teacher toolkit. So, and I'd love to have you on at some point in the future. I think that would be awesome. We could talk about this forever.
Yeah,
but again, thank you so much, and you have an awesome day. We'll talk soon.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, my friend, we have come to the end of today's episode. But before we go, let me ask you a question. Are you ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students? Then learn more about how the Teacher Rockstar Academy can be of help. I'll put the link in the podcast description so that you can learn more about this program. I want to thank you for listening to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles. We'll see you same time, same place next week. And remember, my friend, you got this.
The Teacher Rockstar Podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our growing community of teacher rockstars. Until then, thanks for listening.